Tuesday edition of Beneath the Surface. I'm Michael Slade, and that was Sonido Amazonica with Los Merios. And it's from a compilation album I just stumbled onto the other day, The Roots of Chicha, which they described as psychedelic cumbias from Peru. Okay? The title alone was enough to get me to buy it. And when I got it and opened it up, it just had some great music. Really a lot of fun. And sometimes it's just fun to play music that you really enjoy for the way it sounds, the fun that it gives you. And that's probably going to be the only light moment on this show, because there's some very serious things that we have to talk about today. Towards the end of the show, we'll be speaking with Deborah Sweet, who's the National Director of World Can't Wait, about why we can't rest easy for 8 more months of the Bush regime, what's shaping up in the world, and what people have to do about it, you know, or pay or suffer the consequences. And but before that, and related to that, I'm really happy to be able to speak with Marjorie Cohn, who's a law professor, the author of Cowboy Republic, president of the National Lawyers Guild, and who has been writing prolifically, speaking out, arguing forcefully, making a very convincing case around the horrendous war crimes being committed by this regime, and in particular around John Yoo, and the man who provided the legal theoretical backbone for torture for the U.S. Imperials to just use at will around the world. Marjorie, welcome to the show.
My pleasure, Michael.
Sure. Well, let's jump into this, because you have been, you know, I would like you to, you know, you've talked a lot about, there's always this insinuation, especially over the last few weeks, the last few months, actually, there's been this sort of not enough of a drumbeat, but there's been things that appeared in places you didn't expect. Vanity Fair, the New York Times, people talking about torture, and people actually, you know, there's a sense, even in the mainstream press, there's some cracks developing where people are actually having to deal with the fact that the U.S. has emerged as a major torturer in the world. What's the scene with that? Because there's also, and one of the things you've done with that is you've actually taken this up and said, look, these are war crimes and they should be prosecuted as war crimes. Can you talk to people about that?
Yes. There was a hearing on May the 6th in the subcommittee of the House Judiciary Committee, the subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties, and four people testified, including myself, and then were questioned by the congressman. There's going to be a second hearing, and these are on the on torture and the interrogation rules and the Department of Justice lawyers' complicity. The second hearing, actually, in this series of hearings is going to be on June the 26th, when some of the so-called principals are going to testify. Evidently, John Yoo has agreed to testify, Douglas Feith, I believe William Haynes, David Addington is being subpoenaed. So this will be very, very interesting, but it's a follow-up. And after the hearing, in a press release, the National Lawyers Guild, my organization, called on Congress to appoint a special prosecutor independent of the Department of Justice to investigate and prosecute high Bush officials and the lawyers from the Department of Justice, including John Yoo, who was a former Assistant Attorney General, for their role in this torture scandal, the illegal torture and cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment of many, many prisoners in U.S. custody, not just a few at Abu Ghraib, but widespread mistreatment, abuse, torture in Iraq, in Afghanistan, at Guantanamo, and in the CIA black sites. So it is it is really gaining traction because Congress has picked up on it. These these lawyers have been called to testify, and I think that it's about time that it really entered the national discourse in a significant way. Certainly when the Abu Ghraib photographs came out, there was a big outcry, but the administration has been so good at changing the subject and manipulating the corporate media that we really have not seen torture as a major issue. We haven't seen in the debates, the candidate debates, we haven't seen questions about torture, maybe once in a while, but it's not really in any depth. Certainly on shows like yours, we've talked about torture, but it really needs to get out into the public discourse in a big way, and I think that this is a really positive step in that direction.
Exactly, and let me back up a little bit here. You know, you in your testimony, one of the things you referred to, just so people get a sense of this in terms of when we're talking about, because it's one thing, you know, here's the thing, it's one thing to talk about Congress and the hearings, and I think it's good that it get put out in the public eye in the main. I think that's probably the best thing that would happen, because, you know, the Congress, even the Democratic-controlled Congress, has chosen to do a lot of, like, trading guns, you know, taking guns, you know, getting butter in exchange for allowing the guns to go on, you know, the kind of allowing the torture to continue unopposed, really, and by and large. I mean, this Military Commissions Act, there's been no, you know, there's been no attempt to filibuster things or to overturn things, and nobody's actually thrown down and said, look, here and no further, we're not going, this has to stop. This is, we are committing massive crimes against humanity. And you think about the power that would have if there had been, you know, one voice that stood up and said no, you know, but you've made the point, and this is something that really struck me. You made the point that you asked the question, and I think this is based on your testimony. It's an article that appeared. You said, what does torture have in common with genocide, slavery, and wars of aggression? Why don't you answer that for us?
Then that's the way I started my testimony before Congress. Torture, genocide, slavery, and wars of aggression are all considered jus cogens. That's a Latin term, J-U-S-C-O-G-E-N-S. It's Latin for higher law or compelling law, and that means that no country can ever pass a law that would legalize genocide, slavery, torture, or a war of aggression. And there also can be no immunity from criminal liability for violation of this jus cogens prohibition on torture. So it's really the very highest law. It's the highest part of customary international law, and the Supreme Court has said in no uncertain terms that customary international law is part of U.S. law. So this is part of our law, even though the Bush administration likes to talk about international law, totally forgetting, or I guess ignoring, the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which says treaties shall be the supreme law of the land. So when the United States ratifies a treaty, such as the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment, the Geneva Conventions, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, all three of them prohibit torture and cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment, but we've ratified them, and that means they are part of U.S. law under the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, and they all specify that torture is never allowed.
And yet you have a situation where, what was it, a number of years back when, and this is something, again, I don't think a lot of people actually have picked up on it. ABC just reported it, a month or so ago, of this meeting, the National Security Council Principals Committee, that consisted of Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, George Tenet, and Ashcroft meeting in the White House to micromanage the torture of terrorism suspects by approving specific torture techniques. You know, that's pretty astounding when you think about it. Here are the top ranking officials in the Bush regime who have met to actually micromanage this thing.
They have, and they even approved waterboarding. And waterboarding is clearly torture. But before I move on to that, I just want to add that when George Bush was asked about this National Security Council principals meeting, he said, quote, this is Bush, quote, yes, I'm aware our national security team met on this issue and I approved, unquote. Mm-hmm. So Bush is admitting that he approved this meeting where torture was authorized. Waterboarding is something that's been in the news, and the Bush administration has admitted waterboarding at least on three occasions. At the congressional hearing last week, one of the congressmen, one of the Republican congressmen, I believe it was Mr. Franks, asked me, said, well, it's really not so bad because There was only we only waterboarded three times, and only for a minute each. And I looked at him and I said, "Do you believe that?" You know, after all of the misrepresentations that come out of the Bush administration, are we to believe that they've only used this three times for 1 minute each? But even so, Michael Mukasey, who is the Attorney General, refuses to admit that waterboarding constitutes torture. And waterboarding is when you practically drown someone. You put them on a slant board, you might cover their face with a cloth, and you drip water into their nose and mouth until they almost burst or almost drowned. And this has been considered to be water torture, the water cure. It's been considered to be torture since the Spanish Inquisition. In fact, at Michael Mukasey's confirmation hearing, there was testimony from a retired Navy Rear Admiral, John Hudson, who testified that other than the rack and the thumbscrew, waterboarding is perhaps the most iconic form of torture. And yet Michael Mukasey refuses to admit that waterboarding is torture. And as far as I can tell, there are two different reasons for that. First of all, if waterboarding's torture, which we know it is, and torture is a war crime under the U.S. War Crimes Act, then he would be admitting that his bosses are war criminals for engaging in waterboarding and sanctioning waterboarding. Number two, the Military Commissions Act prohibits the use of torture, of information gained by torture in these military commissions, these criminal trials that they haven't had any yet, but they're planning on it. But the Military Commissions Act does not prohibit the use of coercion if it took place before December 30th, 2005. And so if waterboarding's torture and they got information from someone who was waterboarded, information that they say might implicate some defendant in one of these military commissions, they couldn't use it because it was obtained by torture, if waterboarding's torture. But if it was only, and I use only in quotes, coercive treatment, cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment, then they could use it in a military commission if it took place before December 30th, 2005. But the bottom line is that it is, I guess disingenuous is too mild a word, of Michael Mukasey and his bosses, with whom he walks in lockstep, to refuse to say that waterboarding is torture, even though we know that it is.
Let me remind listeners, I'm Michael Slayton. This is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. And we're talking today with Marjorie Cohen, the National President of the Lawyers Guild, or the National Lawyers Guild, and a law professor and the author of Cowboy Republic. And we're talking about the Bush regime, torture, war crimes, and John Yoo, which we're going to get to very soon. But, you know, Marjorie, from what you're saying and from what I've read, I mean, it seems very clear. I mean, here you have a situation where you've been very adamant about this, that there are, and you, the way you started off this is, repeating this, is that there are laws, there are longstanding laws in the U.S. and internationally that say torture is not legal. And yet all of these people in the Bush regime, from Bush on down, have repeatedly engaged in torture or okay torture or micromanaged torture. And, you know, I'm thinking about, like, okay, the basis for war crimes charges against these people. I mean, they've clearly stepped up and said, "The hell with it. We don't care what you're saying. If we want to do this, we'll do it." What's the story there?
Well, the story is that, speaking of John Yoo, John Yoo has consistently, when he was in the Department of Justice's Office of Legal Counsel, given advice to Bush that, in fact, the president is above the law. That if there's a war going on and the president says so, it doesn't. The separation of powers goes out the window, and the president is supreme. Notwithstanding the Constitution, where there are three branches of government, separate and co-equal, and notwithstanding very clear jurisprudence from the Supreme Court, including the Youngstown case, which says that it's not just the president who has this power. And so that really colors all of the advice, the so-called legal advice by John Yoo. And there were two memos that John Yoo wrote. One was signed by Jay Bybee, who was rewarded for his part in this conspiracy to commit torture with a federal judgeship. He's now on the Ninth Circuit. But the memo dated August 1st, 2002 and a memo dated March 14th, 2003, which just recently came to light, were written by John Yoo. And in those memos, John Yoo narrows the definition of torture far narrower than our laws provide. You have to practically kill someone to constitute torture under John Yoo's definition. These memos were later withdrawn, a clear admission that that the legal reasoning in them was wrong. But also, in the March 14th memo, John Yoo wrote that the Department of Justice would not enforce U.S. laws against torture, assault, maiming, and stalking in the detention and interrogation of enemy combatants. And in case people don't know what the maiming statute prohibits, the one that he doesn't want to enforce, the maiming statute makes it a crime, a federal crime, for someone with the intent to torture, maim, or disfigure, to cut, bite, or slit the nose, ear, or lip, or cut out or disable the tongue, or put out or destroy an eye, or cut off or disable a limb or any member of another person, or throw or pour upon another person any scalding water, corrosive acid, or caustic substance. John Yoo said in a recent interview with Esquire, quote, just because the statute says, that doesn't mean you have to do it, unquote. And in a debate, I believe it was in 2005, with Notre Dame professor Doug Cassell, John Yoo said there's no treaty that prohibits the president from torturing someone by crushing the testicles of the person's child. It depends on the president's motive, notwithstanding the absolute prohibition on torture. This is John Yoo, who, along with Jay Bybee, David Addington, William Haynes, Alberto Gonzalez, and other lawyers in the Department of Justice, gave the Bush administration legal cover to engage in torture. And the National Lawyers Guild is calling for a special prosecutor to investigate the liability not just of Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rice, Powell, Tenet, and Ashcroft, but also these lawyers who were part of a common plan to violate U.S. law. And in fact, John Yoo admitted that there was a common strategy in the treatment of prisoners. So just because they're lawyers does not mean that they cannot be charged with being part of this conspiracy to violate our laws against torture.
Now, one thing that comes up, what would you say if you had to cite, like, if somebody came up to you and just said, look, what's the basis? I mean, what laws could you actually go after them under? What's the basis for going after the top-ranking members of the U.S. government and John Yoo, who at the time was actually an assistant attorney general when he was penning all of these memos, right?
Yes, well, we have laws. We have the War Crimes Act, which punishes. We have the War Crimes Act, and then we have other statutes, 18 U.S.C. sections 818 and 3231. They punish torture, willfully causing great suffering or serious injury to body or health, and inhuman, humiliating, or degrading treatment. We have the torture statute that provides for life imprisonment or even the death penalty if the victim dies for anyone who commits, attempts, or conspires to commit torture outside the United States. That conspiracy to commit torture is a theory under which it's a crime these lawyers can be charged with, and there is there is precedent for it actually. The United States in U.S. versus Altstetter after World War II successfully prosecuted several lawyers that were commissioned by Hitler's regime to give them legal cover because they wanted to disappear people to secret detention centers. And in fact, many of them were convicted of war crimes and crimes against humanity and served time in jail for this so-called legal advice that they gave members of the Nazi regime. And this was the U.S. push for this prosecution.
It's extremely important. I think too many times people just let this, like, you know, they look at it as something that's sort of like, well, you know, there's really, this is just people talking through their hat. They're just, you know, pushing an agenda. And there's actually, there have been real war crimes committed. And there were not just overall, the point is these war crimes have been committed against humanity, and that alone in and of itself is enough to demand that these people be prosecuted on it. But they've also willfully and knowingly violated all of these laws, and somebody like you has actually, you know, come up, not you, somebody like John Yoo has actually, you're right. Somebody like John Yoo has actually come up and, you know, basically knowingly being very familiar with all of these laws, finagled and written around and developed a justification for them to do this. Now, you've also called for, the National Lawyers Guild has also called for you to be dismissed from Bald Hall. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, and some people say, well, he has academic freedom. He can say whatever he wants, whatever kind of radical or extremist views he wants to express, and that's certainly true. Academic freedom allows that. There's a difference between expressing views in the classroom or even in scholarly writing and actually working for the president and advising the president on how he can get away with war crimes. There's a real difference there, and that's why the National Lawyers Guild has called for the dismissal of John Yoo, and the commission of a crime or ethical violations is grounds for dismissal. So I understand there is going to be a protest, and the National Lawyers Guild will be participating in that during the Bald Hall graduation. I think it's this weekend. I also would like to draw people's attention to a white paper that the National Lawyers Guild wrote, which is a 14-page paper, and it explains all of the legal theories underlying the prosecution or the possible prosecution of these people, the Bush officials and the lawyers as well. It's a white paper, and it can be found on our website, nlg.org, nationallawyersguild.org, and you'll see there's a link right on the front page to the testimony that I gave in Congress, and then if you click on that, you'll see the link to the white paper. I'd also like to encourage people to check my website, marjoriecohn.com, that's marjoriecohn.com, where I have a large number of articles on torture that could be good resources for people who just click on useful resources on the right at the top and go under torture, and you'll find them.
Okay, great. That's marjoriecohn.com. Now, Marjorie, let me ask you a couple. Actually, if you can go 5 more minutes, I'm going to bring Deborah Sweet from World Can't Wait on to join us right now. And, then we can just sort of, phase in and phase out, or phase out and phase in. But, Deborah, are you there?
Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Deborah.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Marjorie, and Deborah, you can chime in on this too, because I think the point that you raised, and just for people who don't know, Bald Hall is actually the law school at UC Berkeley, and it's a very prestigious school, and long been a school that has been known for its ties with the movement, with progressive thinking, progressive lawyers, and here to have somebody like John Yoo teaching there, and then for there not to be people, frankly, people, students and other people, storming the doors with pitchforks and torches, demanding that he be carried out on a rail. It's a very, I think a lot of people, and I've heard this from a number of people, that's a very distressing situation that doesn't happen. But I think actually there's also this point that a number of people have raised this question of, that you sort of started to hint at, that, they raised the question of, well, freedom of speech, freedom of thinking, and actually if you cross that line, you're really stepping into dangerous territory, because everybody knows sooner or later they will and have used it against the left, firing people for ideas. Now, you've made the point that it's not just he had a few ideas, he actually was an operative. But there seems to be, there's a very distressing attempt to parallel people like Ward Churchill and John Yoo, and what happened to Ward and Norman Finkelstein, and what the Lawyers Guild is calling for to be done with you. How would you speak to that?
Well, I think it's a totally different thing. First of all, Finkelstein and Ward Churchill were not in high positions in the government advising the president on how he could commit crimes. That's totally different from expressing unpopular or even extremist views in the classroom or in scholarly writing. That's very, very different than actually working in the government and being part of a conspiracy to commit torture and war crimes. It's like apples and oranges. It's a totally different thing.
I think that's extremely important, and I think it's extremely important to emphasize that. I mean, if you think about it in terms of the question of the Nuremberg trials that went on, and we're talking about people who have been on the side of, one, they've been, yes, it's been their ideas that they've been persecuted for, Finkelstein and Churchill, but at the same time, there's a qualitative difference, an apples and oranges difference between them and a war criminal.
Absolutely.
Could I just say, Michael, this sure. is Deborah, that it's hardly the case that John Yoo and various former members of the Bush regime are cowering in persecution in any institution in this country.
Mm-hmm.
They're strutting around pushing this agenda further in all of their positions, making millions of dollars, free. And I just wanted to come on a little bit early and say to Marjorie, that the stand the National Lawyers Guild has taken around John Yoo has really opened up a lot.
Hello, Marjorie, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well,
yeah.
We'll continue with you, and I think we just lost Deborah somehow. I think it sounded like she fell into a tin can. I don't know what happened.
That I think it's important to keep in mind is that John Yoo teaches at the University of California at Berkeley, as you said, which means that those of us who live in California, and you and I do, our tax dollars are paying the salary of a war criminal. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is quite outrageous.
All right, Marjorie, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. And again, your website is marjoriecohn.com. MarjorieCohn.com and NLG.org to find that is the National Lawyers Guild website. Marjorie, thank you very much for joining us, and hope to have you back soon to follow this.
Thank you. My pleasure, Michael.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
I'm Michael Slate, and this is KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be joined by Deborah Sweet, the National Director of World Can't Wait.